Last week, I had the sheer audacity to suggest in my sermon that the central figure in our Easter morning gospel reading was not Jesus. Now, I said so in order to make a point about the Apostle Peter, and today I make the same crazy suggestion. Jesus may not be the central figure in the resurrection passage we've just heard from the Gospel of John. In truth, that's an even bolder claim to make than the one I made last week, because unlike last week, Jesus actually is in this morning's gospel reading. In fact, he's in it twice. Once, when he appears to the vast majority of the disciples as they're gathered together in a locked house, and again a week later, when Jesus appears to all of them together. But if Jesus is not the central figure in today's passage from John, then who is it? Well, I suspect that one name comes to mind, or maybe one name and an unfortunate modifier: Doubting Thomas. This story from John is where we get that phrase, Doubting Thomas. But herein lies the crucial difference between the role that Thomas plays in this morning's resurrection story and the role that Peter played last week. Last week, Peter showed himself as the most faithful and trusting of all the disciples. This week, Thomas shows himself to be a much more skeptical type. So if Thomas doesn't really present himself as a spiritual role model today, can we really claim that Thomas is the central figure in the Doubting Thomas story? For my grandfather joined the army in 1943. He had spent the previous year or two building airplanes for the war effort in the Lockheed plant in his hometown of Burbank, California. In fact, the reason he joined the army that year, he said, was that the stress of inspecting airplanes for any flaws before they went into service got to be too much for him. It's not often that someone says, "My job is too stressful. I think I'll join the army and invade the Philippines." My grandmother, spent the duration of the war building planes in that same plant. My grandfather did eventually get shipped off to Asia with the army, but nearly 5 million Americans who served in the armed forces during that war never left American shores. And like my grandmother, millions of American women and men served that great global effort to defeat fascism without ever laying eyes on a single fascist. And yet virtually all of them believed with all their hearts in what they were doing. To my right, at the foot of our Easter cross, are dozens of gifts that you all have given to children in need throughout Lent, who will be delivered to Children's Friend Agency after our worship this morning. You have given these gifts, even though most of you will never meet the children who will receive them face to face. And all of this brings me back to the central figure in today's gospel passage. Not Jesus, not Thomas. But it is Jesus himself who tells us who is at the center of our gospel reading this morning, when he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Our hearts keep us focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ, even though we don't behold him with our own eyes. We follow him because we have experienced the way of Jesus to be the way of life and peace and justice and hope. That doesn't mean we spend every minute of every day in some sort of spiritual bliss. Even the great saints of the church didn't live like that. Many even went through times of feeling spiritually adrift or even forsaken, such as Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who spent years feeling emotionally distant from God. One of my two best friends in college, whose child I baptized and who presented me for ordination to the priesthood, was a professed atheist when we were in college. My friend didn't turn to Jesus as an adult because, like Thomas, he was given the chance to put his hand in the wounds of the risen Christ. He was drawn back to the way of Jesus because of the work of the Holy Spirit in his heart. Believing in Jesus is not always as dramatic as it was for Thomas on that day, or as it was for St. Paul on the road to Damascus. More often, it is a slow and at times unsteady drawing near of our souls to Christ. None of us here today have seen Christ, though we are the spiritual descendants of those who have. We have known the love of Christ in our lives, and we've been uplifted by our brothers and sisters in Christ. We've been inspired by the teachings and example of Jesus, and even though we have not seen what Thomas saw this week or what Peter saw last week, we are able to speak the very words Peter spoke to Jesus in chapter 6 of John's Gospel when he says, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words that lead to eternal life." And blessed are we that have not seen Christ's face, but have heard his words and example, and have set out to follow them, that we too might have eternal life. Amen. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.